Hello.
Hello.
Hear me okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. I was just messing around with my mic.
Actually, it's my headphones are playing up. My AirPods have been very quiet for some reason.
Oh, I've had that. Is that on your computer or your phone?
Yeah, on my computer.
Oh, okay. I had it on. I had a weird thing with the AirPods on my phone the other day where they just went super quiet, like full volume, but could barely hear anything, and I had to unpair and repair. And then it was all fine. But I've had lots of connectivity issues, and I'm just about to do a sort of one of those magic Amazon swaps where I swap a something else that I bought from somewhere
Yeah,
else.
my AirPods have been a bit funny this week, actually.
Yeah. So I've just had I just I was on Apple support earlier. I've had two issues with them with the recently. One is one of them just wasn't connecting or responding properly. I was getting lots of issues. This sort of, the magic of them is supposed to be that you pop them in your ears and then your phone switches to them and calls switch over and everything's great. And it just wasn't happening. And I was getting the beeping noise between the two of them as if they were disconnecting from each other or whatever. And so I was using one. And then the other thing I've had, and I've had these on two sets of AirPods, is a weird rubbing away, almost like a melting of the material. You know where the letter is, the L and R. And it's as if, which I haven't, but it's as if you've cleaned it with something that's like reacted with the plastic. But first, it looks like a bit of grub. It looks like sort of horrible stuff, and you're like, "Oh, what's this?" But when you try and rub it off, it's as if there's a plastic coating that's coming off, and the letter rubs away. So long story short, I've had one replaced before. They've done it for me. This time, I had a big thing on them with Apple Chat, and they're like, "Oh, we're not sure if we can send you them. We have to go to Basingstoke." So I'm not driving to Basingstoke, just for this. Plus, if I go into the Apple Store, it'll be dangerous. So they said, "Yep, we'll sort it out for you. We're going to send you a replacement." So I get the old UPS thing, new packages on the way from Apple. You're like, awesome. Package arrives, open the thing, and it's the case is there. And I'm like, holy shit, they've sent me a whole new set. I open the case, there's nothing in there. They've just sent me the case. You bloody idiots. So anyway, I bought some from Amazon and I'll send these ones back. So I'll sort it. But it's just weird. Yeah, connectivity problems.
How are you finding your Xbox One X review unit? Not Xbox One. Oh, what am I talking about? Oh, the iPhone X review unit. Sorry.
I wish I had one. Yeah,
I know all these fucking YouTubers have got one. Where's my iPhone X review unit? I've been,
know.
doing a podcast. I've got a blog. Where's
Yeah,
my iPhone X?
we've got at least two listeners, and one of them's my wife. She said today, "Oh, can I pick my daughter up at 12 from preschool?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, yeah, okay." And when we're doing the podcast, she went. I said, "What?" She said, "What time's that?" I said, 10. She said, "You don't need to do it for 2 hours. I think as your biggest fan, I think an hour and a half's more than enough."
Oh.
So great, thanks. Well, I've told you about this before, though, where I've come upstairs like at late at night or whatever. I've fallen asleep downstairs or something. Come upstairs and I can hear like voices coming from the bedroom, and I can hear like your voice. I'm like, "What the hell?" And
That
she's playing it
only
through like,
happened once, Jason. That only
yeah,
happened
she's
once.
she's she's playing it through the phone through to Alexa or something. It's like, "Oh my God." I said, "I can't believe you're actually listening to this." Oh,
Yeah, I've
funny.
been massively enjoying the it.
I
It's
know.
hilarious. I keep calling
Watching
it the Xbox One X because that's coming out next week.
Yes, I've got
So I
my
keep
order
getting mixed
pre-order
up
for that
between
as
them. I'm
well.
going to start calling it the iPhone X and the Xbox One X, I can tell.
I keep calling it the X. I literally realized only a few weeks ago when I was listening to some podcasts, and they said, "Oh, people are going to get confused like they did with Mac OS 10." And I was like, "Mac OS 10? I never called it that. I always called it OS X."
Yeah.
So it's like I was one of those people that called it OS X. So
Yeah,
I
I
keep
never
calling
used
it the
Mac
X,
OS
and I
9,
probably.
so I never really got into the mindset of them being numbered. It
Right.
was always just OS X. I think I still call it that, really.
Yeah.
Well, now I just call it Mac
Exactly. Yeah.
OS. Or High
Yeah.
Sierra, God help us.
Oh God. Yeah, it was funny. It's like yeah, I mean the I think did you link to the post or Luke or somebody linked to the post that said about somebody wrote about this and basically said it felt like Apple had done something where when they did the Watch Series 3, there were some reviews done by tech writers and they focused on like one thing, like the connectivity issue. And that became a huge deal, even though it was fixed very quickly and it wasn't really a major problem for most people. It was a bit of an edge case. lots of people focused on it. So normal people in the street were like, I'm not going to do it because the connectivity issue is not working. You know, it's not working. And yeah. the feeling was they sort of hit the reset button on the review system and just tried something new, just to get a different perspective from people.
Try and prime people into being excited about it, so that when the tech bloggers shit on their parade, they instead, you know, you're already primed to be happy about the product rather than the first thing you're hearing about it from someone that isn't Apple being massively negative. Which I can see why, because one of the first things I've read about the iPhone X from a tech blogger is a guy going, well, it's slower than Touch ID, I got a stopwatch out, and then I raised up my phone, and then it unlocked it, and then I pressed the button to open it up, swipe up, and that took 1.12 seconds, whereas using Touch ID was 0.98 seconds. It's like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, but it's, that would,
this is why Apple doesn't want to give people review units.
Exactly, and it's also it's like, did you see the post someone did about, it's really easy to switch apps, and the video of them doing it was them doing this bizarre lift and arc with the thumb to switch over, and it was like, what the hell are you doing that for when you can just swipe left and right on that home indicator at the bottom? You don't need to do that. You don't need to do this sort of arc swipe. It's just a complete waste of time. And one of the things that Craig Federighi said, and Gruber's confirmed since he got one and calmed down, and other people, is that you can do that. That thing that they demoed on stage, they demoed because one of the things about Face ID was that if you just want to look at the time or you just want to look at your notifications, you don't suddenly want it going to the home screen. So that's the reason why it does the unlock, and then you can swipe up. But you can pick it up, swipe up, and as you swipe up, it unlocks. It's unlocked, you know, as you've done it. So when these people are timing, I picked it up, I tapped the screen, I waited, the padlock unlocked, and then I swiped up, and that takes far too long. That's not how you're going to use it. You're going to pick it up, you're going to swipe up, and it's just and a lot of people like Renner Ritchie have already said that it's as if that it's not locked. It's as if it was the original phone where you swiped right and that was it. There's no concept now that you're actually authenticating. It doesn't feel like you're authenticating. That's it.
One of my favorite things about it is when you get notifications now, you look at a notification and rather than tapping it and then having to put your finger on the thumbprint or then press it on the thumbprint again and then type in your PIN code because it doesn't do your fingerprint properly because you've got a wet hand or something. Now you just tap on the notification and it opens because it's authenticating you while you're looking at it. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I think it's going to end up being, you know, because Touch ID is nice and it's fast and it is, you know, you do forget about it sometimes. But for me, it fails far more than it succeeds, but it fails a lot. And so when it fails, it's very annoying. And it's usually things like you're saying, you've got wet hands, you just wash your hands or something. Or like
I have terrible problems getting it to work.
So yesterday I'm making pizza dough. I've got pizza dough all over my hands. And a thing comes in, and I don't want to have to start pressing things. And it's those sort of situations. But I think this review thing, I think, you nailed it in the sense that if they give these tech reviews, which they have, you know, they've usually given it to them a week before or 2 weeks before, then these people, and they are, finickety people, they will find every little bloody issue and make a big deal of it. And it will suddenly become a headline because at the end of the day, they want clicks. And so they'll say, even though they've said don't, you know, twins can fool it. It's like, twins, you know, if you've got a twin or a friend, you know, it'll fool it. It's like, and so then people focus on that one thing, and then you get these idiots, I'm going to skip this one because some tech writer who is after clicks said that he wasn't happy about this setting or reachability was too difficult or whatever. It's like, for goodness sake. So I think they've done the right thing. I think it's interesting what they've done because it's almost like, you know, there is that sort of, it's like the web celebs that we used to have in the sort of on Twitter and stuff. You had those, you know, classic people that were always at conferences and always promoted on Twitter or whatever. And this is a bit like that. It's like you've got that sort of classic tech reviewers that always get invited to every event and always get the special treatment. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like Apple have gone, well, no, we know, let's mix it up a bit. Let's change things around.
I watched some of the YouTube videos that had been going up, and they're not to my taste, but then they're not marketed to me. They're marketed to people much younger than me that are want to be excited about the phone, who aren't going to watch, you know, a two-hour Apple keynote about it or watch the videos with Johnny Ive narrating because they're boring and they're long and they talk about the technical stuff and they don't give a shit about it. They just want to see the little poop emoji, you know, with a little animated face.
Exactly.
So I get it, and I think it's really good. But the thing for me is that all the tech bloggers like up in arms about, we only got it for 24 hours. Well, all of your audience has already bought it. And if they haven't already bought it, then it doesn't matter if they read the review on Tuesday or they read the review on Friday when you get your one, because they can't buy one anyway because it's back ordered for 6 weeks.
Exactly.
So I don't understand the problem with it. And like Gruber was going, oh, well, people really want to, you know, like an in-depth review of it. People are excited. They want to know more about the details. It's like, nah, I couldn't give a shit. I don't need to read a review of it. I've already ordered it.
No.
And if it turns up and shit, I'll send it back. But I don't need someone's big review in order to validate my purchase. I can wait and make up my own mind when it actually arrives. And if you were going to wait for the reviews to come out before you ordered, then you know, 6 weeks back order, an extra day or two isn't going to make much of a difference.
Exactly. I mean, it's sort of changed with where we are now with the world. Everything has changed in terms of, I remember a friend of ours years ago had bought this new stereo or something. We went around to their house, bought this stereo, and it was like, oh, that's, you know, that's nice. Where'd you get that from? And it was, you know, typical sort of CD, DVD player or whatever. I think it was a CD player. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, did some research, got sort of the, you know, I got the Witch Mag and all that sort of stuff, and did some research and things. And it's really funny now because that concept for me has sort of gone. The only thing I really look at is if I'm looking at Amazon or something, I'll look at a few reviews. Hmm. Or look at the rating just to see if anyone's saying, oh, you know, it came and it didn't work or it fell apart or whatever. But otherwise, I've got Prime. I'll order it. If it's crap, I'll send it back. I've got 30 days. You know, Apple, you get, what, 14 days? Yeah. So, I bought a watch strap. I bought one of those sort of nylon-y sports straps, the new ones, and just didn't like it. I just didn't put it on, just didn't like it. I wore it for about a week and then thought, don't like this. Just put it back in the thing, sent it back. They gave me a refund. It's just the world's changed. You know, you don't need to do a whole load of research, read a load of reviews about what people write when the focus of those people is to just get hits and make money from those reviews. Just make up your own mind.
No, you're right. Things have changed. I mean, even like buying clothes and stuff, like no one tries clothes on anymore. You just go in, you pick up three different sizes, you buy them all, you try them on at home, and then you return the ones you don't want, or all three if you don't like any of them. Like whenever my wife buys clothes online, she'll buy them in all different sizes, and then just like she'll place like these huge, like multi-100-pound orders, and then send back like out of 12 items, she'll send back like 10.
Exactly.
She's like,
exactly. Exactly. So yeah, the old days were you'd go into town, you'd go to the shop, you'd try on some stuff, you'd go out the back, you know, you'd spend like hours doing all this stuff. Now, when I'm doing it on Amazon, it's like I want to buy some shorts or I want to buy a top or whatever. I don't short size them. I just buy two sizes. They come next day, you try them on, send them back. I mean, it's just, it's easy. So I don't get these people that are like, I don't understand the concept of when it's like, oh yeah, I saw someone the other day was just like, oh yeah, I've got my 6S, I'm gonna skip it, you know, it's early days, isn't it, you know, things can go wrong. It's like, what? Most of the technology in this is established in the sense that, you know, it's the A chip, it's just a faster version, it's got more capability. Yes, there's some new sensors and things like that in it, but at the end of the day, it's the same attitude as you. It's like, if it breaks, I send it back. I've got a guarantee, definite guarantee for a year. I've got Apple Care anyway, because I just do that for the sake of it. But I've got all that stuff anyway. And you still get more than, I think you get, what, 2 or 3 year consumer warranty, consumer rights warranty or something in the
UK. 6 years if you buy it online.
6 years. Yeah. So there's no danger. There's no worry. You don't need to sort of panic about it. So yeah, it's funny.
So how was your...
It's been an interesting week.
How was your pre-order experience?
it was all right, apart from the HSBC thing. So... it's quite sad, really. It's going to sound very sad, but I do end up not sleeping very well the night before. So I do end up bloody dreaming about the damn. I mean, I dream about the damn pre-order process. It's very strange. It's very sad. But so basically I had a couple of alarms set. It was about 10 to 8 or something. I think last year they were late. They were a couple of minutes late anyway. Use the app, obviously, because that's what you should always use. I know there were some people that said, oh, it didn't work for me or whatever. But it worked. I think at about 8:04 it came on finally. And I did that thing where I definitely know that I've done it before where I've had the app open and it says, please come back. And then it's suddenly activated without me doing anything. It's like pinged and refreshed. But I wasn't trusting it. So I just kept killing it, refreshing. And then suddenly popped up. I did the trick that I told you about where I put it all in my favorites already. So I didn't have to start browsing through the site. I just literally went to favorites, clicked it, added to bag again because I've got two, Went to confirmation, double checked everything just to be sure, because you're a bit bleary eyed. I'm not sure if I'm ordering the right size or whatever. Did the payment, all goes through, and I'm fine, done. And then started reading up at everybody else, you know, complaining about it. And then at about 8:30-ish, I think it was, something like that. Because I think it was half term week. That's right. So the kids are off. So I'm not taking the kids to school or anything, or not taking my daughter. So about 8:30 or 9-ish or something, I get a phone call on my phone, 0345 number or something, which is usually the bank. They asked for Hannah first, because we're both joint holders on the company account. Not sure why they asked for her when the transaction was in my name, but whatever. Could I speak to Hannah Barnett? I'm like, what's this about? So, you know, explained it was a joint account. So then, oh yeah, we wanted to check a transaction. They said, we wanted to check a transaction with you. I said, you better not have canceled the transaction for my phone. and I said, was this to Apple? And he's like, yes, it was to Apple. And I'm like, I lost it a little bit.
To be fair, I mean, I was going to say that the way that Apple pre-orders generally work is that they don't necessarily take the money immediately. Like, I don't think they even check the card, really. They just do it because they don't have time, because there's too much going on. So that's why you probably got the phone call like half an hour later, because that's when they actually tried to take the money. But if it hadn't have worked, I believe from when this has happened to me in the past when I've used the wrong card, that the pre-order stays, but you have like 24 hours to update your payment information, but it wouldn't cancel the order.
So that's what happened. So I kept watch. So they said they declined it, and I said, just unlock my card right now. You know, I gave them all the details, and I said, don't, you know, I had a go at them because I'm so pissed off, because I've got a screenshot from their website that talks about their advanced fraud detection system, and it's not advanced. It's not advanced, because a fraud detection system should realize that within a two-month period, a two-month window each year, I spend money with Apple. And it should know that, and it should realize that, and it should be looking at my history, or it should be escalating it to somebody who can make that decision, and not just going, oh my God, there's a £2,500 transaction, let's cancel it, this is unusual. It's not unusual for me to be spending money from the business account.
No.
So it does. It just drives me insane, that whole thing. But basically what you said is absolutely true, and I have this recollection before as well, where a transaction hasn't gone through. So I was just watching the order process in the morning, and it was saying processing order and everything. And then about 11, half 11, I noticed there was an error, and it said, you know, billing issue. So I just clicked it, and it says, you know, do you want to reauth the same transaction, or do you want to reauth with another card? And it was, I used my fingerprint, which is what really annoyed me as well, because it's like, I used my fingerprint to do this. So there cannot be any doubt that it was me.
It's an Apple Pay transaction.
Exactly. So all I did was say reauth. It went through, and now it's preparing for dispatch. So it was all fine. But I was really, really pissed off, especially because I hadn't been smug, but it's lucky that I wasn't too smug on Twitter to say, everybody's got to wait 6 weeks. And then suddenly I'm going, I haven't got mine because HSBC cancelled it. And now it's going to be December.
And it's funny. I have the same problem with the fraud system. It's always with Apple, to the extent that, no joke, in my favorites like speed dial in the phone app, I have RBS fraud line, because I have to phone them so often, because so every annoying. Time I try and make a transaction with Apple, it often just goes nope, and then I ring them, unblock the card, and then do it again, and it works. I always say the same thing to them. I'm like, I do this every year, like multiple times. It's not unusual.
The thing that annoys me is, if their apps were better, it would be, you know, the solution to this is to have a feature in the app where I can say to them, just like you say, used to phone your cell company or whatever and say, I'm traveling, or your bank sometimes, where you could say, I am about to purchase, you know, I'm about to spend this much money on Friday, and I am authorizing you to make sure that goes through, type thing. You know, that would be a really simple interface to do. And it would take care of it. It would solve that problem. It would just be fraud detection's picked it up. Wait a minute, we've got a pre-auth from the person to say he was going to do this. It's all fine. You know, it's just very frustrating. But it all worked out, which was good. How was yours?
Very, very straightforward. I mean, the night before, because last time I forgot when ordering the iPhone 8 and the Apple Watches and stuff to update my Apple account with my business card details, because it's so annoying that it's all tied together. So if you change your details, it changes it for like iTunes purchases, for loads of other stuff that I don't want to go through the business account. So what I usually do is the night before go in, change my default card options to my business bank account, which doesn't have Apple Pay. And I forgot to do that before the Apple Watch pre-order. And so when I tried to do it in the morning before, it wouldn't let me because the store was down, so I couldn't change anything. It's like, oh. So then I paid for it with my own account, and then I just said to the accountant, sorry, I did it with my personal account and then transferred some money, so you can work out the legality or whatever needs to be done about that. I don't know how it works. So this time I did it the night before, I switched it all over to my Barclays account. I was like, yep, this is all perfect, it's all going to work. And then on the morning, just same thing, favorited it in the app the day before. Just kept force quitting and refreshing the app, and then a few minutes after 8 o'clock in, and it was like literally three taps. It was like select favorites, tap add to basket, go to basket, pay, and then I think I had to enter my security code, and that was it.
Yeah, cool.
Incredibly faster. It could only be faster if I was using Apple Pay, which my business bank account doesn't do, which is annoying, because then I wouldn't have to go through this little dance of changing it all the time, because you could just choose one of your different cards, whereas if you're doing it with a default payment option, I think you can only have one. You can't switch between them easily. So I have to go and set it up the night before. And then after the payment's gone through, I have to go back in and change it back to my other card. It's a pain in the ass.
Right. That's cool. I mean, I know there were a lot of people who, because of the delays with the site coming back up and DNS and caching and all the stuff that usually can affect this stuff, you know, by the time it actually activated, it was already slipped to like 3 or 4 weeks. And
yeah
it was very quick.
Yeah, it was literally a couple of minutes for it to go to, I think it was at like 2 minutes, went to 2 to 3 weeks, and then like another 4 minutes after that, it was then at 4 to 5 weeks or 3 to 4 weeks, something like that. And then
The
next day went up to 5 to 6, which isn't as much as I thought, to be honest. I thought it'd be going out to more like it would just say roughly December or even January. So I'm surprised it is only 5 to 6 weeks. I did think it would be more, but then I guess you get less orders the more. Like, how many people are going to pre-order it when it says 5 to 6 weeks? They're just going to
I'll
wait 5 weeks and it'll drop down, and then they'll get there and it won't have.
Yeah, I mean, imagine when, if it came back and said it's going to ship in January or something. Jesus.
I had a friend in Sweden who was going to order one, and he tried to do it, and he had like loads of problems with his bank not doing the payments and stuff, and it just wasn't working. And he just got so pissed off with it, he just didn't bother. And I was like, he wasn't going to order it. Because when it came up, it was like 2 to 3 weeks. Or, no, I apologize. This story is the worst retelling of a story ever. Okay, he's going away for 2 weeks. And so when it went up, it was like, you know, immediate delivery. And he's like, I don't want to do it coming like within 1 week because I won't be here. I need it to be like 3 to 4 weeks. And then I said, you know, you really should order it when it does that, because otherwise you're going to miss it. And it'll be weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And he's like, I think it's just going to be like the AirPods. I'll just, you know, wait until they come down to 1 to 2 weeks and then I'll buy them. And then it got to like 3 to 4, and then he tried it, and then he had loads of payment issues and it didn't work. And he got really pissed off, and he's like, oh, I don't want the fucking things anymore. You totally missed out. And I just know that the next day he's going to regret it. Be like, I wish I'd bought one now.
Well, I mean, the thing is, as well, is if you're away, you know, when these things dispatch, you get your notification from UPS, DPD, or whoever it is, you just change the delivery date. Say whenever you want, you know.
I just had an email saying, we'll deliver your parcel on 3rd November.
Oh,
big,
crap.
Big DPD alert. We'll deliver your parcel tomorrow in, for some reason, impact font. That's awful. I hope this is a genuine one.
I'm still refreshing.
We will send you your 1 hour time slot on the day of delivery once your parcel is loaded on the van.
Can you imagine it saying it's shipped and then the next thing it says it'll be delivered by Yodel? I mean, that would be...
DPD's been having a lot of problems in my area. They used to be really, really good. Use your slot and all that kind of stuff. But one of the drivers, whenever it says it's this particular driver, I'm always like, because half the time he just doesn't deliver it. He just says, I couldn't find the address because it's a new build. And it's like, you've been here like 20 times since I've moved here. You know where it is. And he just goes, I don't know where it is, and just comes the next day.
Well, I mean, my UPS driver, I think I'm going to have to buy him a Christmas card or something, or a present, because we're like best mates now. You know, it's like yesterday he was delivering stuff, and it was you know, not Apple stuff. Well, I think he did deliver an Apple stuff the other day, but he delivered and was sort of like, oh, you know, hi, Jason, how you doing?
I think I mentioned it previously, iPads. But my old UPS driver used to be really anti-Apple, and it was hilarious on any launch day because he'd deliver the package. He'd be like, I've got hundreds of these bloody things. I don't know why people keep buying them. I'm going to be working all night delivering these. I'm like, thank you. he gets so annoyed delivering them because it's just so busy, and it's like, you're in a job, you're probably being paid per package you deliver.
Exactly. Yeah, so he'll probably be delivering tomorrow if it's UPS, but if it's DPD aren't too bad here. But Yodel, you know, Yodel are just Yodel.
Yodel, I mean, shit everywhere.
Yeah, the not the monitor I've got now, because I've got a nicer one now, but the original, when I originally bought like a big 27-inch monitor when I started working from home when we were renting, it took two orders of this monitor, and it took 2 weeks to arrive because this is Amazon Next Day Prime, because every time Yodel tried to deliver, I just got a note on the delivery status saying, you know, what was it, something like couldn't get access or something. It was couldn't get access. And we lived down a farm track. So I thought, well, okay, maybe he didn't see the turn. Maybe he didn't know we were down there and that sort of thing. When I eventually got one to deliver and it actually arrived, I said, it was the same driver. And I said, you know, what was the problem? And he was trying to go to a completely different place, to a completely different address in the town. And they just give up. And, you know, he said it was getting dark. And so, yeah, just you know, we just put that down. It's just very frustrating.
That's irritating. So, What else has happened?
Oh, Apple engineer fired.
Oh, that was hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious when someone loses their job, but it is when you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it's, I mean, just... I was shocked when I was watching the video, because it was like, okay, she's actually in Cafe Max and she's got the iPhone X and they're filming it, and they're filming her dad, and they're filming in Cafe Max. And I'm thinking, when did Apple start, you know, allowing this, just sort of cameras and stuff to be filmed and put on YouTube?
Yeah.
And then I didn't notice anything weird on the device, but it turns out that, you know, the device was an employee device. It had a special version of the Notes app. It had QR codes or something that were special to Apple. And it, in the Notes app, it was apparently there were code names for future products shown.
Yeah.
So he was just like, he's just a bloody idiot. I mean, he is just an absolute fool. You know, there's NDAs in place. It's very, it is unfortunate, but I've got no sympathy, because that's just, you know, and the worst thing is, you haven't done it accidentally. You haven't been filmed by somebody else. It hasn't been some weird covert thing.
It wasn't like the iPhone 4 when the guy accidentally left it in a bar or pickpocketed or who knows what actually happened, where it was like hidden in a special case to make it look like a 3GS.
Exactly. Your daughter is a YouTube starlet who wanted to get some hits, and that's the price you pay. So she can pay your salary for a while. You know, it's just ridiculous. But you know, you get all these people, Tim Cook. You know, how could you do this to this guy? And it's like we seem to have lost this concept of responsibility.
Yeah,
just seem to have lost this concept of responsibility in the world where, you know, you can just do anything you want. You know, I can walk down a street and I can punch someone in the face, and then if I get arrested and whatever, it's like, oh no, why are you arresting him? He's just, you know, he's just a normal guy. You're being really horrible. It's like, it just drives me nuts. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there was a large amount of double standards in the world. No, I thought it was interesting. It wasn't even that very much of a good video. I mean, it was
terrible. I mean, the first
people were like, oh, this is obviously a planned leak by Apple. I really don't think it is.
And the thing that got me, the first half of the bloody video, still her in the car talking about crap, and it's like, when do you actually? But they actually show the iPhone at about 75% through or something. You know, you have to scroll right through to get to the damn bit where they show the phone. It's just a completely. It's a perfect example of this this culture with this sort of stuff of trying to be first. You know, she wanted to get her video up. She wanted to get hits. She wanted to show that she had her hands on an iPhone. She wanted the kudos. It's an ego boost. It's all these different things. And that's probably why some of these reviewers, like, you know, Gruber or whoever, are going a bit nuts as well, because they want to be first. They want to be the elite. They want to get that stuff first before anyone else. And it's upsetting when they don't. Yeah.
That is funny.
Very, very strange.
I did enjoy, I don't know if you saw Panzerino's review on TechCrunch. His are always very good because he goes to Disneyland for a week and takes the new phones with him.
Oh, wow.
Like, does like a review based on, not just sitting around measuring it and going, oh, well, it's pretty good at this and that, but like taking it out and taking photos in harsh conditions, testing battery life when you've got like all your radios firing all the time because you're in a condensed area, and like on rides and stuff where it can't get cellular access, so it's like really draining the battery. And they're always really, really good reviews, just because it shows how the phone actually works in, you know, everyday conditions rather than the usual reviewer bollocks that people do. So that's really good. If you've not seen that, it's on the TechCrunch.
I'll have a look at that.
Yeah, that's a really good review.
That's pretty good. I mean, have you seen the stuff on the, just talking about phones generally, have you seen the Pixel XL stuff? with the screens and, yeah. and real world conditions of things like photos and stuff. There was that review that I can't remember the guy's name who put it up, saying how the Pixel XL photo or the Pixel photo camera was really good, and the portrait mode was really good, and people started comparing it side by side, and it was like, holy shit, this is terrible. You know, the colors are wrong. Half the images, half the background is focused, half isn't. And then there's this whole thing that apparently, I mean, I've ordered an XL because just for testing and the usual bullshit. I was tempted to cancel it, but again, it's that thing. If it arrives and it's crap, I'll send it back. excuse me.
They've got a lot of issues. They've got like
there's issues with the screen. Yeah, there's a blue tint to the screen, and so again, this feeds back into Apple and it feeds back into the X in that. Oh my God, this is an OLED screen and it's got some blue tint. And then apparently, this could be a common thing that happens with OLED screen. Oh my God, is the iPhone 10 going to have this? Oh my God, it's going to be useless. I need to cancel my order. It's like, just calm down, breathe, just wait. You know, Apple have been making phones for 10 years and done pretty well. You know, most successful product they've ever sold and probably the most successful product ever sold. Google are crap at this. They've proved that in the past.
It's not even Google, it's HTC, really.
True, yeah, exactly.
They like to say that it's them, but it's not at all. It's obvious just by looking at them.
I mean, I ordered the... I was interested in the Daydream View because I bought the old Daydream, which was pretty cool, a bit of fun. You know, kids liked it. We used it at a school fair to generate a bit of money for the school by letting people play on it and play some of the games or whatever. But they released a new version which had supposedly a wider field of view, and it's only a very tiny field of view change, about 10 degrees. But it does make a focusing difference. You can sort of focus a bit more better onto that little sweet spot. And it's got better ventilation in terms of making sure that the phone can breathe and things like that. And it's got a strap going over the top of your head as well. So, you know, you don't feel the weight as much because it is a big thing with the phone. So I got that, and then I went for the Pixel XL because the problem with the Daydream and the problem with that VR stuff is the screen door effect you get with the screens, because they're not high res enough that when your eyes are so close, you see the lines between the pixels. With the XL's got a higher density, so it's not going to solve the problem, but I thought it might be a bit better. So that's the reason why I went for that instead of the normal Pixel, because I've got the old Pixel. I'll be interested to see what it's like and compare it, and it'll be probably quite a good comparison to do in terms of photos and stuff. Because I think they're doing portrait mode with one camera, aren't they?
Yeah, which is always going to be tricky. I mean, the real problem that they've got is the OLED panel is, as you say, you've got like this blue tint when you look at it from, you know, anything but straight on, which, to be honest, I can really care about that because I don't look at my phone at oblique angles. I'm looking at it straight on, you know.
I don't use my phone at arm's length on the table or stuff like that.
But the real problem is the burn-in, like, you don't want to have the interface burning into the into the phone within like 6 days. That's not good.
That's a 1970s and 80s problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
let's
God,
bring,
do you
let's
when
bring
used to have
burn-in back. People used to love that.
God, screensaver. Does macOS even have screensavers anymore?
Yeah, it still does. And there are stories of people. I mean, I remember seeing, I think it was ATP or podcast or whatever, about some iMacs. There was some iMacs or some, there was definitely some Apple screens that had shadowing or ghosting.
Oh, it was the original 5K iMac.
Yes. So it's definitely still a thing. Hmm. We'll know tomorrow, obviously, but I think I saw someone talking about the iPhone 10 screen in terms of, because it's OLED, if you... not the color shift issue, but there's a sort of drop in brightness or quality if you're looking at it on the desk. If it's flat on the desk in front of you and you're a distance away, and it's just that whole comment of thinking...
ever so slightly bluer.
This is a real edge case. I'd like to send my iPhone back. Why? When I'm using it from 4 feet away on my desk, I think the screen doesn't look as good. It's like, are you absolutely insane?
Using a barge pole to operate.
Yeah, and some of the questions people were getting were, you know, does it authenticate with Face ID okay when it's flat on your desk? And it's like, apparently it does, but it's almost like, how are you using these things?
It's fair enough if it's flat on your desk. Like, mine's flat on my desk right now. Like, maybe if I put my arm out, the top of the phone is like where my watch strap is. So I'm almost looking down on it, but not directly over it, but a distance from it. There I would expect it to work because I use it like that sometimes. And, you know, it's within arm's reach to authenticate with Touch ID. But if it was the other side of the room, then
that's very...
no.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work in the range of my arm, then it's not as good, because obviously Touch ID works as far as my thumb can stretch. So, like, I mean, I'm not going to. Like, if I have my arm outstretched as far as I can go to put my thumb down, I wouldn't use my phone from that distance anyway when it's flat on the table. But that probably wouldn't work. But close up, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... the other thing that's funny is that all the people that say, I'll stick with my 6S. My 6S is fine, whatever. Or I'm not going to go with this because it's the first generation. You know, even though, you know, most of the tech is established, or technically the 8 has got many of the
I'm
specs.
I'm going to go for the iPhone 8 because I'm waiting for one with Touch ID.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's all this. And then about 3 weeks later, you'll see them showing off their new X, new 10, and like, oh, I thought you weren't going to get it. It's like, yeah. It's like, reminds me years ago. It's that whole thing of, oh, no, I definitely don't. I'm not going to fall for it. Okay, damn it, I'm going to fall for it. Especially when they go in and actually try one in the store. Because, I mean, it does, you know, I'm expecting it to be as cool looking as I'm thinking it's going to look just from seeing some of the screens. There was a great photo someone did last night, of, I think it was the... It was a normal size. I don't think it was an 8 and 8 plus. It might have been a 7, but it was a 7 and 8 plus and the 10 next to each other. And just this comparison of the size with the screen, because, you know, it's still difficult to get your head around the fact that it's got a bigger screen than the plus, even though it's smaller. And you sort of realize with those comparison shots why, because it just, the size of the screen, just that the amount of black space on those other two phones compared to it. You know, it is you can physically see in the photo that it is a smaller device than the Plus, but you can also see that it has more screen space. It's just crazy.
I am looking forward to getting it tomorrow.
Yeah, and also some of the photos I've seen of people holding it landscape when they're showing it and playing with it and stuff, they're covering the notch with their thumb, which is what I figured would end up happening. So, you know, I can't, when I'm watching stuff, let me just hold mine now. So if I'm holding it to watch something, I don't tend to hold it fingertips. You know, I'll have it in my hand, so I'm holding it with both hands now. I've got my thumb, my sort of left thumb's just sort of sitting just, well, literally probably where the notch is, just on the edge of the screen. Yeah. And my right thumb is just below, just covering the bottom of the home button. And that's how I'd hold it. Or I might hold it with one hand, but my thumb is now on the left-hand side, covering up probably that whole top area of the screen. Yeah, I'm not going to hold it as if it's, you know, I'm not holding it the way I'm holding it now, where I'm holding it between my index finger and my thumb on both sides, and I'm, you know, holding it like it's made of glass. Well, it is made of glass, but you know what I mean. I'm holding it like it's going to explode or something. You know, I'm barely touching it. You're not going to hold it like that. So I think that's another. I think, and that's come out of a few reviews. People have said, oh, what about the notch? What about the notch? And it's like, do you know what? After about 5-10 minutes, you forget about the notch. You don't even notice it.
I don't understand. We've talked about it at length, so I won't go into it, but I don't understand the mentality of people with the notch. It's like, what would you prefer? I'd prefer the notch wasn't there at all. It's like, well, that's not going to happen, so would you prefer it to have blacked out completely at the top so you've got wasted space, or would you prefer to have these indicators in the top right? I don't understand.
It will be, oh, they've got a stupid bar across the top. Remember when everyone complained about the Android watches with the rubber tire, you know, with the flat tire? It's the same thing now. It's like, oh, great.
I know what I meant to tell you. I didn't put it in our show notes. I don't have the link to hand. But I saw, you know how much we love mock-ups by designers of future Apple products.
Love it.
Someone put the notch on everything, like on a laptop.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
On the laptop, it looked all right, actually. I didn't mind it on the laptop. But the best one was an Apple Watch with the notch.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Because you really need Face ID on an Apple Watch.
And that misconception that the notch is this is now a feature that has to in it. It's a signature. It's a design signature. It's not a compromise because they couldn't do anything. They couldn't have the stuff in the screen without the notch. You know, it's been done on purpose, and therefore we need to put it on everything. Yeah, I saw that. It was hysterical.
The notch.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to add cameras to the Apple Watch, just so we can put a notch on it. It's like, well, why don't we just not have cameras like now? Oh, God, we could do that. Yeah. It's like, Jesus.
I did see a genuinely interesting new phone that launched yesterday, or kind of didn't. They kind of fucked up their launch because they're idiots. It's the first phone made by Razer, who are like a PC gaming company. Like, I've got on my desk right now, I've got a mouse from them, I've got a soundbar from them. They tend to stick like RGB color stuff in anything and everything. and they've got like keyboards and stuff that light up. They're pretty cool. But they've made a phone which has some ridiculous specs on it. Like it's got like I think the biggest battery in a phone. It's like 4,000 mAh. It's got Dolby Atmos speakers in it.
Oh God.
120 hertz screen. It's pretty crazy stuff. And the reason for it is that they're touting it as like a gaming phone, but it's right. got huge bezels. It's very angular. It's like literally a rectangle, no smooth corners or anything. It's just sharp edges. And the thing that The Verge had the most issue with, obviously, was that it doesn't have a headphone jack. Comes with a USB-C adapter for that, which they weren't particularly pleased about. But you can only buy it from Three, I believe, in the UK. But it's only like, I think on pay-as-you-go, it's like £570, which is crazy for the amount of tech that's in it. But I've got no idea if it's going to be any good. And like, I don't game on my phone anyway. And if I'm going to game on my phone, it's not the sort of thing that needs to be 120 hertz. It's like, you know, Emoji Blitz or something. I'm not playing, you know, Final Fantasy 15 on it. So it's an interesting, interesting move.
Yeah, I mean, phone gaming for me is like, you know, it's a quick, you fire up a game, play for 30 seconds or a couple of minutes or something, and you know, you kill some time, or you have a quick, you know, play off with something. That's it. You don't go on and spend 10 hours.
The only game that I've spent significant time playing on my phone, you know, the snowboarding one with the llamas.
Oh right, I haven't seen that.
Played that?
No.
Oh, it's really, really good. It's like an endless runner thing.
Oh yeah,
it's like goals you need. So once you do a trick or jump off a rock or collect 5 llamas or something, and then it gets progressively harder. It's really good, really, really good game. Beautiful imagery.
I did install Full Throttle because the Lucasfilm had a remastered version of that.
Oh yeah,
And played that for about 10 minutes until I got to probably the same point I got to when I played it as a kid, and thought, okay, I'm now sick and tired of this game because it makes no frigging sense when you're trying to do, you know, take this and bash this. Oh, I don't want to do that. It's like, oh, Christ's sake.
Traditional, good old fashioned LucasArts point and click adventure.
I'm going to have to end up looking up the cheats for that, of how to do it, and then find out it's a really convoluted solution or something. I'm literally only in the first 10 minutes of the game or something. It's just very frustrating.
Is that on the iPhone?
Yeah, it's on the iPhone. Yeah, it's nice.
Wow. See, I can't imagine playing something like that on the iPhone. I'd play it on an iPad, but I just think that the phone screen's too small. Like, even with like a Plus phone, I still find it too small to play anything. Anything that doesn't require more than a single tap or a swipe.
I mean, I play very few games on the Xbox anyway, and on the phone it'll literally be something I'll just have a quick go on, just a very quick game like Crossy Road or whatever, just something really quick, or FIFA football. So I don't play it for a huge amount of time. On the iPads, I might do on the iPads actually.
Because I used to use the iPad a lot, especially when traveling. Like if I'm on an aeroplane, I had Faster Than Light was very, very good on the iPad. a few of the tower defense games like Kingdom Rush, that's very, very nice. Yeah. And some of the point and click adventures, like I had Monkey Island and stuff like that. They're all great on the iPad. But now I've got the Nintendo Switch. It's like, I don't need the iPad for games now either, because I can play a full, honest to goodness Mario game on a handheld console, which is way better than anything on iPad, because you have a physical controller, which obviously makes a huge difference in all of these things.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at the Switch. It's not something I would probably go for, because I don't think I could. Not that I can't justify the price of it. It's just that I don't justify that I'd end up using it. Do you know what I mean? And it's not the sort of thing that I would just sort of give to the kids to quickly play. I mean, it could be something that I could get as a replacement for the Wii type thing, because they did used to like, I've got the original Wii, and it comes downstairs sometimes, or bring it down from the attic or whatever and set it up for the kids or whatever. And they like playing that and the tennis and everything. So it could be something I could do for that, where they can play the silly games and the movement games and the stuff like that. Because that, you know, that's going to be probably better than the Apple TV or whatever. And obviously it can plug straight into the screen. I'm looking forward to the Xbox One X. God, the 10 box 110. I mean, I haven't got a 4K screen, but it can still do, you know, 1080 and will still be faster and everything. So I'm still
Yeah, it still really, renders at 4K, but just downscales it to 1080p. Yeah, so it'll still look nicer.
Exactly. And to be honest, the thing I'm really getting it for and in anticipation for is the VR stuff, because I want to play Elite Dangerous in VR, because that would just be, that'll blow my mind.
But it doesn't have VR.
Well, I hope that it's supposed to eventually. They're supposed to be adding it, which was the whole reason that Scorpio was being done. Well, not the whole reason, but it was one of the things. Yeah, I bloody hope.
They've not announced anything. Hopefully they will, but I don't know if it's when.
I know, it's very frustrating.
Seems like it should be able to. Well, it will be able to. I mean, PlayStation 4 can do VR, but
yeah,
it's much more powerful than that. But the main benefit will be for 4K screen. I've got four games just sat in their shrink wrap. Red. I've got Assassin's Creed, Middle Earth, Shadow of War, and Horizon 7. I'm just refusing to play them in standard like 1080p because I want to see them at 4K. So I'll just wait.
So they'll play on. They'll play on both.
Yeah. Like all. There's no. You can't get any games that are just for the Xbox One X. Like they have to work on the Xbox One, and then they get a patch to make them Xbox One X.
Oh, I see.
To add the extra resolution or extra textures and whatnot.
Got you.
That's same with cool, the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro. It's the same games. It's just that they look nicer on the Pro.
That should be. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that then. So it's Tuesday it comes out, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I have got a pre-order in, so that should be a. It's going to be an interesting few weeks actually, because I've got that. Got the 10 coming tomorrow, hopefully. Got the Xbox X on Tuesday. Then I think later that week, or maybe the week after, I've got the Amazon shows coming. The new Echoes. So should be interesting few weeks, and then HomePod in December potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I might get one just to try it out. I'm thinking Apple have pretty much missed the boat really on that sort of stuff.
Especially as you're a Amazon Echo household.
Exactly, and it's just not gonna come close to doing what I can do right now. With the Echo, because it's just so easy. I mean, for God's sake, you know, you've got so many skills out there that you can plug into it, and it's so easy to write skills that even if there wasn't something and you can get to the APIs that you want to get to, you can just write your own. And that's never going to be Apple are never going to allow that. So I can see it being an interesting, if it's a great speaker, I can see that happening.
Although, did you see that you can write apps for HomePod? They just announced it this week.
Do they run off the phone or something? Or
yeah, it's basically the Siri kit intentions stuff. So I think there's three of them it supports, and basically the HomePod will listen and interact with it, but then it will send it to the phone to actually do whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean that could be interesting. I still want this, and if the HomePod could do it, that would be great. Or if just Siri could do it, I still want this sort of seamlessness of devices and moving between rooms and things, where you can just sort of say, you know, play this TV show or play this video or play this or whatever in the kitchen, and it's just going to start playing in the kitchen, and you can watch something, and then you could just move to another room and say, you know, continue playing in the sitting room or something, and it's got that context of thinking, okay, you were playing something just now which you asked for in the other room, that must be the thing you're talking about, and it's just getting all these things together in an intelligent way so that it becomes seamless. That it's that sort of thing I'm after. I mean, yeah, the Echo is a good example of where. And a lot of this comes down to the skills. It's down to the skills, really, because when you create the skills, you create all the variations, and it can create variations of the terminology and the phrasing or whatever. But it can be very frustrating when you're trying to tell it to do something and you're getting your words wrong. So you have to be consciously thinking about what you're saying or the order in which you have to say it. There's a really silly example at the moment where when I put my youngest to bed, we usually sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star type thing. And sometimes I'll do it on she's got a little dot in her room, and I'll do it on the dot. And recently you used to be able to say, you know, Dingus, play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And it would say Twinkle Twinkle Little Star by the something collections or something. And it starts playing. But what's happened is there's clearly either some indexing's happened or new tracks have been added. There's another version of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star by some other thing that is not as good as this one. But how it finds it is, it seems how you say it, because when you say play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and it gets it wrong, when it mentions the other name of the other track, it says it faster. So it actually says, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star by so-and-so. But if you then say, no, Dingus, play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, then it finds the other one, which I do want. And it will then, and she'll repeat it back going, Twinkle Twinkle, Little Star, buy the Rainbow Collections. And it's just like, oh, it's very, God, very, it's very strange. And you know, it hasn't got that intelligence that if you say, Christ, I can't remember if it was the Rainbow Collections or the Rainbow Collection. So you say one and it will like, yep, can't find that. You know, can't find it, even though it's matched. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Rainbow, and Collection from Collections. No, can't find it. Can't find it because that S. You've got to re-say it with that
That's
S.
So annoying.
And
so
then it will do it. And there's this weird thing at the moment, and it's something to do with my Apple, my Amazon Music account. I'm on a normal account. I'm on a paid account. I think maybe I'm supposed to be on a family account. I don't know, but it's just not working correctly. It's not preventing me correctly. I believe what should be happening is it should be behaving a bit like Spotify, which I hate on the Echoes, because I've got a family account with that. And what should happen is it should just let me play on any device. Done. But what used to happen with Amazon Music is you should be able to just play something on one Echo, play it on another, whatever, done. Then it started just after they started doing the updates with the software updates recently. It started saying, Amazon Music is streaming from another device. Would you like to stream from here instead? And you say yes. But what would happen is the other device would still be playing. So the music you're playing in the other room is still going. Now you're playing something else in this room. So they're still doing it at the same time. So it's like a pointless error. So it's as if it should be stopping, but it's not. And so that's the other thing that I'm getting at the moment constantly, where Leo, for some bloody reason, is into madness now. So all I can hear is Our House playing from his bedroom all the time. so yeah, it's like the music he goes through is incredible. Flo Rida one week, madness another week. So there's Our House playing in the other room. And I say, I go through this whole rigmarole with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, starts playing the wrong one. No, stop. Echo, stop. Right. Echo, play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Blah. Then she says, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star by the Rainbow Collections. Amazon Music is playing from another device. Like, holy shit. Would you like to play from here? Yes. So it's almost like you want to do that thing where you go, it's like when you go on Amazon support or you phone the bank. You almost want to say, Echo, play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star by the Rainbow Collection. And yes, cancel the other device. Just do everything. And then you think it's going to come back and ask you another question or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's the frustrating bit. It's that it gets to that point and it's that classic example where you say, look what I can do. Echo, turn on the kettle. I'm sorry, I can't find the kettle. Okay. Echo, turn kettle on. I'm sorry. Just go from press the kettle. You know, it gets to that point where you lose that convenience.
Yeah, this voice recognition stuff always works. Generally, if it's just you on your own, but then as soon as you try and show it to anyone else, it doesn't work. That's my general rule of thumb. Like, I've stopped. I used to, we had some friends over at the weekend. They hadn't seen our new house before, and we walked in, and the lights all came on automatically because I got motion sensors. And they were like, oh, cool, they just come automatically. I was like, yep. And I was about to go, look, I can do this. And then I was going to say, hey, make my office orange or whatever, just to show the color changing bulbs and the Siri stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to do it, because every time I've tried it with someone else, it never works. It's always a shit demo, because it works flawlessly when I want to do it on my own, but never in front of anyone else. Siri just goes, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reaching your devices.
It's like developers have got a bit of code that's like, if voice is detected greater than one, stick a randomization in to say if it's going to work or not, just to piss them off.
When I went to my father-in-law's house, he just bought one of the Echoes a little while ago, and he was showing it to me. He was like, oh, try the music, and he played some music and it was fine. And then my wife said, play, I can't remember what song, it was like a popular song at the moment, and it just started playing like halfway through the song and just played 20 seconds of it. I was like, what? It's like, oh yeah, I don't have the full package, so it just gives you like a preview, because it didn't have like Amazon Music. He's just got, it's like a free version, so you ask for it. I think we said, oh, play songs by Meatloaf. They're all like really obscure B tracks, because it doesn't have any of like the full albums.
Like, oh. Love it. Yeah, I mean, I've got Spotify as well, but Spotify's frustrating, because I'm paying for like 12 quid a month or whatever for the family account, and it's just doing this. It still does this stupid thing where it can't play on multiple devices.
That's so irritating.
And then I thought, well, okay, I can solve this by having an account for the Echo. You know, have an account for the Echo. We've got too many Echoes now anyway, but have an account for each one and then put that into the family thing. But you can't do that, because the Amazon Alexa app, the music is for the whole house. It's your whole account. It's not per device, so you can't do that. So
That's the same with Sonos.
Yeah, and there's no interest in, I guess, anybody making this work because Amazon have their own music solution anyway. But, you know, the whole purpose of these things is it shouldn't be designed or function in a way which means you can only play on one device. That's just nuts. The thing I do regret is telling the kids how you can play on multiple bloody devices. Because trying to go get them to bed the other night, and all of a sudden the whole house starts playing music because they said something like "play so and so" everywhere. It's like every single bloody echo in every room started. It's like this amazing stereo system across the whole house. It's like shit. I need to cancel that.
So I see why they limit it in the way they do, because they don't want you to just give your user details to loads of other people and have it, you know, get free music everywhere. But if they're all in the same house, like if they're all on the same Wi-Fi, then you should be able to play differently from each one, because it shouldn't matter.
Exactly.
It's annoying. Exactly. But I saw that, I don't think we discussed it last time, we talked about the Sonos One, I think, last time, about how that's got Alexa built into it. But there was also an announcement that all of the existing Sonos are getting AirPlay 2 upgrades.
I mentioned that last time.
I don't know how they're going to do that. It must be just some firmware update. But I'm pretty excited about that. I guess it's going to happen around the time the AirPods, the HomePod comes out. Because I don't think there's any AirPlay 2 stuff released yet. I think it's part of iOS 11.2.
What is the AirPlay stuff? Is it just the multi? Is it the multi-room?
Yeah, I think it's multi-room and just like reliability updates, because AirPlay was a piece of shit. But AirPlay 2 is supposed to be a lot better. It's built into the HomePod. I know that much. And they're going to let other people add it to their stuff, like AirPlay was. But I was surprised that Sonos was getting it, because Sonos didn't allow AirPlay. And I was even more surprised when they said they're going to put it in all of the devices that have already been sold.
So that's nice.
Interesting. I am thinking, after all of my criticism of the AirPod, HomePod, in my kitchen I've got two Sonos Play Ones. And I'm tempted to take them down and put them in my living room, because then I can use them as rear stereo speakers for the soundbar to get like 5.1 surround sound.
Oh, yes. I heard about this. So are they the little square ones?
Yeah.
They're square? Yeah. Right. I heard about that. Because that,
I've got the play
that
bar.
Was the solution I was thinking about at one point.
Yeah. So I've got the play bar, which is like, you know, your left, right and center channel. And that's really, really good. But then if you have two of the play ones behind you, you can pair them with it wirelessly, so that you then get, you know, five channels all around you, and that takes some of the load off the play bar. And then the play bar kind of, like, now that it's not having to do all of those things, it can improve the quality of the front audio more, and then if you pair it with a subwoofer, then again the quality of it improves, because it's no longer having to handle the bass, so it just uses the extra speakers, because I think it's got like 9 speakers in it, the soundbar.
Wow.
So it just adjusts itself depending on what other speakers you've got connected. So I'm tempted to move them from the kitchen and then buy a HomePod and put that in there, just because I keep finding myself wanting to play music, and it's a bit of a pain in the ass having to go into the Sonos app and then go choose playlists and do all this stuff, because you can't speak to it and just say, hey, play this.
Okay.
Whereas if I had a HomePod, I could, because I could basically use Siri. But it'll depend, because if they have the AirPlay 2 support, then presumably I can just do it. I think, and I'm not sure on this, I might be wrong, I think you can use Siri with AirPlay 2, which you couldn't with AirPlay 1. So I think I'll be able to say, hey Siri, Alexa. I was so careful and then I messed it up.
Yeah.
I think you'll be able to say, hey, play, you know, whatever playlist in the kitchen. And then it will work, because it will know that you have speakers in the kitchen. Like, it kind of, I think it integrates with HomeKit, because HomeKit's getting speaker support. So at that point, I'll be able to do it, but then it's streaming from the phone, not from the device. So then it loses like the niceness of Sonos. But it might be better, I don't know. So there's a lot of maybes, I'm not quite sure. I kind of wanted to have the surround sound in the living room before Christmas. So I think it's going to be a case of buy the HomePod when it comes out, see if it's any good, and then move those speakers to the living room. And if it's not, I'll send it back and then buy new speakers for the living room.
And what is there a thing with the HomePod? What happens if you have two? Do they act as stereo, or do they just act as two separate speakers but synced? I'm sure there was something about that, that you can have two in a room.
I don't think it does anything particularly special with two in a room. I don't think there's any advantage, because I think the point of it is that it does simulated stereo. Like with the Play Ones, One on its own just plays music. But if you have two of them, then you can designate them as a stereo pair. So they show up in Sonos as a single speaker, but one is a left channel and one's a right channel. And obviously, you can hear the difference because you've got two separate channels coming. So right. Something like Bohemian Rhapsody, you can hear the audio moving from one to the other at the beginning. But I think with the HomePod, the whole point of it is that it does like this whole virtual surround stuff. So it's bouncing audio all over the place. So I don't think it makes any difference if you have two.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I didn't really look into it that much because I wasn't interested. But
are
I am.
Are you tempted by the iMac Pro?
No. Well, I am, obviously, because it's beautiful and I like yeah, stuff like that. But I have a Mac Pro and I use the same screen. My screen is basically mounted on the wall. It's an ultra-wide curved monitor, gaming monitor. And so if I had the iMac, it literally wouldn't work because it would be in front of my screen for playing games. I'd have to put it in like a different desk or a different office or something. It's not going to work. So any computer I'll buy will basically plug into this monitor until I upgrade this monitor. So whilst it is very, very nice, it's just not going to be useful for me because I can't plug a PC into it and use the monitor.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't want to anyway because it's not ultra-wide, which is what I like. So I'm going to wait for the Mac Pro, not necessarily next year, but the Mac Pro that's not coming this year.
Yeah, exactly.
As Apple succinctly put it.
It'll be interesting to see what that looks like. Yeah, I mean, the iMac, I mean, I'd love the keyboard and mouse, but I don't think they're selling them separately.
No.
So that would be a shame. I just noticed my phones have shipped, dispatched.
Nice.
I'm getting UK mail, apparently. So it's in that Syncreon system, you know, those sort of weird holding.
Oh, I hate that.
The holding pattern before, so you don't really get a proper tracking number until Syncreon give it to whoever they're giving it to, which is frustrating. But anyway, so yeah, that looks like it's happening. No, my MacBook's my main machine, and this week I have got to do a trip to the Apple Store on Monday because I had to book it in because I decided that I had it's the 2016 keyboard, the Butterfly One keyboard or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And my tab key was just a little bit sticky, and I was blowing air under it and all that stuff.
And then I did a Medium post from you about it.
No, not yet. And then I did that thing that you do where you look up on YouTube how to remove the keys and think, oh, okay, I'll try that. So I get a bit of plastic and thin bit of plastic and put it underneath and start to lever this key off. And instead of levering the black thing off, I'm actually levering off most of the mechanism. So I end up taking the damn thing off. And I've actually pulled some of the white mechanism bit away from the base, which is, it's only stuck on. It's got like this weird, like tacky, gluey type stuff. So it's just stuck on. But I had basically removed the damn thing and then trying to put it back together because those keys have got those tiny little plastic sort of clips, you know, tiny, tiny, like half a millimeter stupid things. As you tried to push it back together, a couple of those broke off. So it's just like, holy shit. So anyway, I managed to get it back in place, but it's very loose. But ironically, it's got 100% success rate now. So before, if you tapped it, you know, literally tapped it 10 times, you'd lose probably two or three clicks. Now it's perfect. But if I blow air on it, you can sort of see the key starts wobbling. You know, it's always like, whoa, it's going to fly off in a second. So I've got to go in on Monday, and I'm hoping it shouldn't need opening because literally, you know, it's a couple of little bits of tacky. It's almost like a tacky, sticky stuff. They should just be able to put a whole new key housing in, hopefully. But it was a frustrating thing because Apple support can sometimes be brilliant, where it'll be like, you know, like with my iPhone 7, I just went on. I said, well, I've got micro scratches all over the screen. I just want it replaced, and so they did a Apple Care, you know, swap over, and I think it cost me like 50 quid maybe or something. I'm not even sure it cost me that actually. But they literally ship you the new one and then you ship the other one in the box and it's done. So I've got a brand new iPhone 7 to resell or whatever. Painless. But before, when I've had problems with, I think, the iPhone 6S, where I had that battery issue with people were having where it was like shutting down at 40% and then it wouldn't come back on properly unless you plugged it in. But then once it did, it would stay on again and then drain normally. And they told me, you know, it was software and it wasn't software. And eventually they did replace it. But I had a wasted trip where I drove all the way to Basingstoke, which is not the most pleasant place to drive to anyway. If you're from Basingstoke, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, just get a train to London for it to catch fire and then go to Basingstoke. That's what you usually do.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, I go to the Basingstoke Apple Store and then I get some idiot genius who says, oh yeah, no, that's software. And it's like, well, I was told you're going to replace it. And so I just had a wasted journey, basically. So when I went the second time, they did replace it, and it solved the problem. So it was the device. So I've got to go back there on Monday to get this done, which is going to be interesting, because obviously the 10 will have been out. So it'll be interesting to see what, if there's any queues on Monday for it, if there's any people wandering around, and if there's any new extras and things that I can pick up while I'm there. So
I think on Saturday they're opening up reservations, so I guess there won't be any walk-ins. You'll just have to reserve it in the app to get it after that date, until they've got stock of them, I guess. I don't think there's going to be queues of people waiting to get them on Mondays and Tuesdays. But then sometimes there are, aren't there? Sometimes they keep those little, because they put like the little railings and that to get people in on the day. But sometimes they do stay up for a little while longer. So maybe.
Yeah, I remember there was.
Works. I've not queued up for an Apple device since, I can't remember when. I think the iPhone 4 was the last one I did. And I waited 9 hours and then got a lower capacity one because they'd run out. So
I think I think my last one was the 3GS.
And that was back in the day when you had to queue at the carrier.
Yes, I did queue at the carrier, I mean, the 4 was the first one I had shipped to my desk, and it was like, oh my God, I am never queuing again. This is amazing.
And I think, actually, at that point, it wasn't even queue at the carrier, it was queue at O2, because they were the carrier.
No, that's right. Yeah, it was, yeah. I had it. That was the first one I did, and since then it's been, it's just been brilliant. I mean, there's just, I don't find that. It was enjoyable, you know, for a couple of times, you know, sort of stand there a bit nerdy early in the morning chatting to people. And then it just becomes, I'm not doing this. And then getting to the end and they say, sorry, we've run out. Or you have to buy an 8 gig model or something. So it's far more civilized now to sit here and probably not do anything most of the morning because you're just thinking, when's it coming? When's it coming?
I know what I wanted to that's what tomorrow with you. I think... you tweeted about it a little while ago, and it was I forget the name of the app, but they'd basically
Astropad.
Done this big nonsense piece about Apple takes away buttons. We've added one, and it's
Astropad.
Some kind of editing software.
Yeah,
they made a button out of the camera because basically they put the camera on all the time, you know, drain your battery, and then when you put your finger over it, they can detect that, and so then. Treated that as a button to bring out like a side panel to which you'd pointed out, well, why don't you just swipe from the right? It should be far better. And it was awful.
Was
but the funny thing is that Apple have rejected it.
Got
to App Store review.
So this is, I think I've used it once. So Astropad, it's like a Cintiq device, I think they call it, Cintiq app. So you're basically, it's a bit like Duet Display. Where it's turning your iPad into, but it's turning your iPad into a touchpad, but it's giving you like a VNC type view of your screen, effectively. So you've got like Photoshop effectively running on your iPad Pro. So you could have a 12-inch iPad Pro, and you could be sitting across the room on your couch, or you could be sitting at your desk, and you have a full touch experience with Photoshop, which is actually running on your Mac, basically. So it's that sort of setup, I think. This stuff is crazy because you think about the amount of effort that's gone into them doing this and all the publicity that's come out of it. And then Apple and what gets me is it's just that thing. It's probably not, because it's probably just gone the round robin thing to the review person who's gone, yeah, you can't do that, and stopped it. But I just love the idea that Apple's just sitting there going, okay, this is interesting. Let's see what happens when this comes in. And they've let them write the interface and do the testing and do the builds and do the publicity and submit the build, and then just gone, no.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a very clear Apple guideline. You can't.
That's terrible.
Use
it's
things that aren't for the intended thing. You remember the, was it called Camera Plus? The thing that long before the iPhone did this, when you had your phone sideways, you could press the volume up button in the app to take a photo.
Yeah.
And they got banned from the App Store they got threatened with being banned from the App Store because they got told no, and then they put the code in anyway, but they just disguised it. It was like a feature that they turned on server side after it got through review, and Apple kicked them out of the App Store for like a week. And then the next version of iOS had that feature built in.
Exactly, and I read that article as not we've invented a cool button and everybody's going, oh my God, this is amazing. They've invented a cool button. It's like, no, they have failed at user interface design and user experience design. They failed at that, because if they have to resort, you know, their app is not that complicated that it requires you to hack the camera. Like I said, just have a swipe in, just have a, you know, have a something that we expect to happen. A little arrow at the side, you swipe in, you pick your option, you're done. It just, it's obviously a publicity thing. It's a thing, you know, it's stupid. I'm glad it's been cancelled, because I'm glad it's been stopped, because that sort of stuff just encourages more of that sort of crap. And then you end up with an app that doesn't shut down properly or doesn't do something properly, and the camera's draining the battery.
Do you really want to be using an app that's already going to be draining battery because it's syncing like in real time with your Mac? Do you then want it to be using the camera all the time and then smudging your front-facing camera by putting your little sticky finger on it all the time to bring up the menu?
It's that intuitiveness of, oh, how do I get to that option? Oh yeah, you just tap over the camera. I do what? You just tap the camera. Why? That doesn't make any sense. This, I've never used any other product where it's like, yeah, just tap the camera to get that feature. It just, I mean, the only thing that comes close to it, I guess, is the heart. Remember that heart rate thing, which was actually really clever. So that the original heart rate app that someone wrote, basically you put your finger over the rear camera, and it shone the flash.
I remember those.
Put the light up super bright, and it could look at your finger super close and pick up the movement of the blood. That was ingenious. That's very clever. Very, very clever. And worked really, really well. But this is just, you know, you're lazy. You're lazy and you failed at user interface design. If this is what you have to do, it just makes no sense whatsoever. You know, you've got a much bigger problem. This is the thing about, I mean, the iPhone's got more complicated over the years. But it's that, it's always nice when you use an app and you think, I want to get to a feature, or I want to edit this or delete this, or I want to do something. And so you actually try what you think makes sense, like a hard push or a swipe or whatever. And it's like, oh, shit, it works. So it makes sense. That's cool.
I'm intrigued by the iPhone X because there's all these different gestures and stuff, because there's no home button. And I massively, massively struggle with the iPad running iOS 11. I have no idea of how to do basic things like put a app on the side. Like, I literally sat 20 minutes trying loads of stuff. I was like, I'm not going to look this up because it should be obvious. And I eventually got it. I can't remember how I did it now. If I tried to do it again now, it'd probably take me 10 minutes to remember. Because it used to be very simple. You swiped from the right, you pulled down, you pressed a button. Your app was there, and then you could readjust it. But now I've got no clue, because you have to like double press the home button and then drag stuff. And because I don't use the dock with my most recently opened programs, it's more like, how do I do a side by side with an app that isn't in my dock? And that's tricky.
That's the thing I was just about to say. So the thing that doesn't work, and I've just tried it just now just to make sure, because I did this originally, is, you know, we all have loads of apps, and so you're never going to have all your apps in the dock unless you've got like 10 apps or whatever the number is. So if you think I'm just doing it now, if you just swipe down on the screen and you get your search, and it's come up with an app like Find Friends, which is not in my dock. So I'm going to grab that and I'm holding it, and now it's dragging that icon, but I'm still on that spotlight screen. So my natural thought is, okay, I press the home button. So now I'm back on the springboard, and I'm holding the app icon for Find Friends, which it seems to be able to drop it, because one icon's just moved out the way. But now I don't know what to do with this in terms of how I seem to be able to put it in the dock. I'm still holding it. I'm not letting go yet. But whatever I do to sort of drag it to the side, nope, that doesn't work. So I think I've got to hold it. I've got to go to, say, Safari. Now Safari's open. Now if I drag it to the right, there you go. Now it locks in. So that is quite a long-winded process. Whereas what I prefer to do is, you know, drag down, see the icon, grab it, drag it to the right, and it, I guess that's not going to work, though, because if it's going to dock, then I'm in springboard. So it sort
I'm
of
still
makes
trying
sense.
To work this out. I have no idea.
It's messy.
I expect...
That to me is messy.
Like, if you double-click and it does that zoom out where you've got Control Center and all the other apps, like, I've got Mail open and I've got Safari open. I just want to pick up the Safari and drop it on top of Mail and it merge them.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, but so if I could... No, exactly. So I've got to actually pick up Safari and then... Yeah, it's
so
not
how does
as...
it actually sure. work? So I've got Mail open right now. How do I add another app to it?
Okay, so if you've got... let me just open an app. So if I've got Twitter open, So you've got your app open. Okay, so now you swipe up from the bottom to get your dock. You pick up the app. So pick
No, but it's not in my dock.
Okay, fine. Okay.
So how do I get an app that isn't in my dock?
Okay, so hit home to go back to home. Drag down, find your app.
Yeah.
So search for your app. You got your app?
This is you have to search for it.
Yeah, this is like a magic trick. If you got your app, you got your app. Think about your app. Don't show anyone else. Okay. So now grab the icon from your app. Now press the home button, keeping your finger on the screen.
Oh my God.
Then go to mail. Then, so you can keep hold of that icon.
This is horrible.
So you can keep hold of that icon while you press home, while you swipe up, because it's multi-touch, isn't it? So as long as you don't let go of that icon. So it's a bit of it's a bit of hassle. It works, but it's not as easy as it should be.
Right. So the way I can do it is I'm in mail. I go to the home screen. I can pick up my app, double tap the home button, and then it goes back to my app, and then I can drop it on top. Okay, there we go. That is just... See, it's a mess. That is an absolute mess. That is so much worse than what was there previously. That's what worries me about the iPhone X. Is if they've added multitasking bollocks like that, or gestures like that, then it's not going to work.
Like reachability stuff. Hannah uses reachability because she struggles with the bigger, the seven size, not even the plus, just the normal size, just hitting the top of the screen. So she uses reachability quite a lot. But they still got it on the 10. You just on that home indicator or whatever they're calling it, you swipe down apparently if you've got reachability enabled. So what's going to be interesting now is it's like the old, it's a bit like when Touch ID came along and some of our devices didn't have it. You know, we're going to be switching now between the 10 and our iPads, where our iPads have, you know, home buttons and different interfaces for things. That's going to be an interesting switch of how you sort of cope with that. Because, you know, there's times, even on my MacBook, I do it probably once a week where I actually try and tap the screen to tap a button. I just get into that mode where you suddenly reach up to the screen to press something. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the context shift between devices. But hopefully, if they go this way with, because I mean, I'd love to see a bloody iPad with full screen. I mean, my God,
that would be nice.
Even I don't care if it's got a notch. That would be that would be astonishing. That would be absolutely astonishing to look at. Yeah, it should be cool. Right, I have to finish soon because I've got to go pick up my daughter.
Lovely.
Anything else we could discuss quickly? There was a little thing I tweeted about. Someone went on about, oh, you know, iPhone 10, it's still going to come with a USB-A cable. Comes with a USB-A cable. But you could argue that that's not to connect to your computer. It's to connect to the brick, which also comes with it.
Yeah.
And I had this sort of argument with a guy on Twitter, as I do, because he was saying, oh, you know, you still want to be able to connect your phone to your laptop. I said, why do you ever need to connect your phone to a laptop? For backup purposes. I said, so your backup policy is that you're backing up to a single computer.
To a laptop.
That's not a backup policy. And he's like, I'm not, I think I've got his tweet here. So I'm not arguing one approach is better than another, or get into a pissing contest about backup strategy, which he technically lost. But he was saying it was better. He said he was saying having a cable that you can plug into a computer.
I can appreciate that if you have a MacBook Pro or a 12-inch MacBook and they've only got USB-C ports, that you might want to plug your phone in to charge it. Like, that's fair enough. I can also see an argument for, well, maybe it'd be nice now that Apple's pushing into USB-C that maybe they should be providing the charger as a USB-C or lightning to lightning or something else.
Or an adapter or whatever.
Those are valid arguments. But the reality is that there are far more USB-A devices out there. People have chargers already and they want to keep the same charge. But it's tricky because on the other side of that, Apple's being very aggressive to put USB-C for a lot of stuff. Perhaps it should be doing the same here. It should be like, oh, well, here is a USB-C brick and here is the USB-C cable. I don't understand why they haven't done that. Like, I don't understand the reason for...
I guess...
The iPhone X should come with the USB-C charger.
Yes, definitely.
And the cable.
Yeah, because a USB-C charge will be faster. USB-C can do faster charge. That makes sense. What frustrates me about this whole situation is where people perpetuate this sort of myth and story that they have to carry around a dongle bag with a million dongles in it. I don't, and it seems to be just for the sake of talking about it and complaining about it. You know, there's people on ATP Marco that goes on about, oh my God, my dongle bag. And it's like, I don't understand why you've got a dongle bag. You know, I have, I've got the MacBook Pro with four USB-C ports. Yes, it was the most expensive one I bought because I had to buy a few dongles that I needed at the time. But then after a while, you start checking out other stuff that comes out. So now I'm looking at my HyperDrive dongle, which I've got in front of me. It is, you know, really small, pretty, probably about the size of an old iPhone 3 in terms of a height. And it's about an inch wide. It's got two USB plugs on the back that go into the side of the MacBook Pro. And it then gives me two USB-C ports on it. It gives me an HDMI. It gives me an SD and a micro SD. It gives me two USB-As. I, apart from maybe having a DisplayPort dongle for when I need that, for most like shows, conferences, whatever I might go to do a presentation, HDMI is usually the solution anyway. But I might, at worst case, I'd have to carry this plus a DisplayPort adapter. That's it, two things. Now, in my experience of traveling with this new setup, you know, what I can do now is, instead of the old days where I had to carry that bloody great Apple white charger thing with the mag, you know, the MagSafe thing on it, I don't even have to carry the Apple one now. I can carry an Anker 60 watt USB charger that also has four USB-A slots in it. So I'm now carrying less stuff in my travel bag than I used to before, because I'm not having to carry my normal Anker sort of multi-charger that I'd have to, you know, use for hotels and things. I can carry one brick that does all my devices. So I don't understand this. And the only thing, and headphone wise, you know, I carry one spare set of headphones, which are, I think I've got the normal plug ones with an adapter as a spare in my bag, just as emergencies. Mm. And then I've got my Bluetooth stuff. So I made that mistake once. I did travel with my old headphones and I couldn't plug them in, and I'd forgotten my adapter and I'd forgotten my Lightning headphones, and I'd forgotten my Bluetooth. I'd forgot the whole bloody lot. So I learned from that, and I just put an adapter in my bag and I put a spare set of headphones in my bag and I'm done. So, you know, I don't get it. And it seems to be the only reason to complain about it is because you want to complain about it and you want to make a big deal and you want to go on about this sort of stuff. You know, it's right now, USB-C, I'm liking way better than USB-A.
See, I've had USB-C. I mean, I use a desktop computer most of the time. It's a Mac Pro. It has no USB-C ports on it. And so I have like a mic plugged into it. I have a webcam plugged into it, because obviously I come with one. And I have a cable for iPhone. If I was doing development previously, obviously you can do it wirelessly now. So that's all fine. But I've had USB-C laptops since the 12-inch MacBook came out. And when I bought that laptop, I bought a USB-C to USB-A dongle, just an Apple one, just the one tiny dongle. And that's all I've ever had to use. And the only reason I bought that was because occasionally I might have to put a USB-A, like, flash drive into it or something, like, you know, the little USB sticks. That's all I use it for, and I keep it in my bag along with a spare cable that I have, just a USB-A to Lightning cable, actually, that I use for charging from my battery that I have spare in there as well. And to be honest, I don't think I've ever used the dongle, because I've never had a need to plug anything into my laptop. And even now with the MacBook Pro with the four USB-C ports, I don't have anything USB-A I need to plug into, certainly not two things at the same time. So I just have that one dongle, and I don't need anything else. I mean, I guess it's not my main computer, so like, if it was, then obviously this microphone would have to be plugged into it. So then I would probably look into one of these hub devices, or I'd get a different microphone that's USB-C.
Exactly. Yeah, but, exactly. I mean, it's
the price you pay for buying a laptop that's got you knew buying it that was what it's going to be. It's not a surprise to you. I don't care.
It doesn't bother me at all. So anyway, I've just had my email
I do think that Apple could be being a bit more aggressive with it. I do think that they should be selling the power adapters should have USB-C on them now, in my opinion, because could bundle in a USB-C to Lightning cable, and then everyone will be happy, apart from all the people that don't have USB-C. But then what are you going to do?
And on that note, I need to finish it to go and get my daughter and feed her.
Perfect. So, well, I look forward to hearing your gleeful tweets tomorrow when you get your new phone.
Yours. And
sorry, phones, plural.
Phones should be good.